Good evening. Defining what is self-talk. Can we switch off these two lights also, brother? These two lights? Yeah, that's good. It's visible? Okay. So it refers to the steady stream of ongoing thoughts or the internal dialogue that goes on in our minds constantly. You must already be thinking, what is this subject? We all know what self-talk is. What is Bala going to speak? Now that itself is self-talk. And if I delay it a little further, maybe after 8:30 or 8:45, your self-talk will drift a little downwards and then start focusing on the food. So this constant stream of thoughts or the internal dialogue that happens, most of us are seldom aware because we take it for granted. But it's one of the most important tools we have if we want to become, as some of you just mentioned a few minutes ago, if you want to become happy, if you want to become peaceful, if you want to become satisfied, how can this self-talk be used as a tool? Now, that's the most important. I'll be sharing many insights, and one of the most important insights is this. Self-talk is the story I tell myself about my life and experiences. There's something that has happened, and there is a story I tell myself about what has happened. The story that I tell myself is what we call it as self-talk. And the beauty is, my experience is directly proportional to the story I tell myself. Think about it. Exactly the same situation, but the reactions are completely different, depending on the story I tell myself. And if you have a notebook and a pen, please have it, because some of the things I'm going to share and ask, you might want to make a note. And you might want to do some reflective inquiry over the next couple of days while you're here. It's that mind chatter that goes on often below the conscious thought. We are not even aware. We got so used to it that we are not even aware that something called self-talk is happening and I am doing it. Now, why is this self-talk important? I am talking to myself. What's the big deal, Bala? Come on. Don't tell me talking to myself is such a big thing. But why is self-talk important? I'll introduce that with a very simple equation, because you all come from the IT and math background. Very simple equation, which is going to help you a lot. If we understand this equation, then you will know how to use this tool or the concept. Any guess what these three mean? And it's true for all of us. P, this small p, is performance. And the capital P is my potential. And small I is the interference that happens here. Now, where does that interference come from? How does it originate? How do we control? We will discuss that in the next few minutes. If I ask a simple question to any one of you, how many of you think that you can do just a little better than what you're currently doing? Yeah? Almost all the hands start going up. That means we believe that we have higher potential than what we are performing. And this is true in almost every aspect of life for each one of us. Now, what is it that I? That I is this I, which is interfering with my potential. And that's what manifests in the form of self-talk. So our self-talk with ourselves influences moods, emotions, and ultimately our behavior, and thus our performance. If I can take control of this small I, if this I can tend to zero, then what happens to my small p? It starts becoming equal to potential. I have the capability, but when I am stressed, when I am worried, when I am anxious, what happens to the I? It starts increasing. And then what happens to my current performance? Decreases. So if I want to increase my performance, there are two ways. What are those? Increase my potential and decrease my interference. Both can be achieved. And good that you are here, and you will learn a lot more techniques about doing these two. How do I decrease this I, and how do I increase my potential? And what are the tools? We will explore some of those. Okay? And what are some of these consequences of self-talk, this chatter that keeps on going inside? There are negative consequences. I become anxious and distressed and thus generate a lot of stress. Again, as I said, it's not what happens to me that generates stress, but how I perceive what happens to me that generates stress. And whenever I start feeling controlless and I feel helpless, which leads to hopeless, and then only it will go to depression. According to one survey, 1 in every 4 people in the world today is depressed. That's a huge number, and that number is only increasing. Why? Because that I is simply increasing. And it is this negative self-talk that leads to loss of self-confidence and also self-esteem. Can I do it? That's enough. Oh my God, I don't think, I prepared very well, but I don't think I can speak. That's it. So there is potential, but then just single thought will play the spoil sport. And there are positive results also based on the kind of self-talk we do with ourselves. When I do positive self-talk with myself, for example, I'm here. For the next hour or so, I am going to focus on what Bala is sharing. I will not allow rest of the thoughts to interfere. That's positive self-talk. That leads to increase in attention and motivation. Research has found that sportsmen who indulge in this kind of positive self-talk are of a higher probability to not to succumb to stress and give a very good performance. It's just a few simple thoughts. We will explore some of those. And it helps us in managing stress. Because as I said, when I can change the story I am telling myself about the situation, my experience changes. It allows to control emotional reactions, and it maximizes skill development because there is that increase in that confidence and self-esteem. A simple thing like, I can do this. Very simple thought. And see the difference it makes. When you start something, when you start it with this thought, I can do this. See the difference it makes. And self-talk also influences our decision making based on what we believe about ourselves. And we'll discuss at length about our own beliefs. What I believe about myself, self-talk arises out of those beliefs and it influences both my performance and my decision making. I'll clarify that in the next few minutes. Now, let's explore this aspect, and this is one of the areas I request you to use your time here to explore what kind of beliefs each one of you is carrying within yourself. If I want to change my experience, it is enough for me to change my beliefs. And to change my beliefs, first I should become aware of those. One simple question. Can any one of you tell me how would Thomas Alva Edison's laboratory looked like? You know Thomas Alva Edison? The guy who invented the bulb. Can you guess? Yes. I know we haven't seen it, but I just want you to guess. Yes. You want to share? Let me just repeat. So it's a messy place with lots of papers strewn around. Yeah? Lot of equipment, lot of raw material. Yes. What about the lighting? Lighting. Will it be bright, dark? Probably dark. Yeah? Most of you believe that? Good. What else?
The mood would be not so positive.
Good.
And looking out for something bright would happen because he has never seen the light. From a source which he is trying to discover.
Thank you. Very good. Now, what if I tell you Thomas Alva Edison's laboratory did not look like what the brother just mentioned? In truth, he was more of an entrepreneur inventor. He had a whole bunch of scientists working under him. It was more corporate than a laboratory. As soon as we hear the word laboratory, based on our experience, we formed a belief inside our mind that it needs to be dark, it needs to be dirty. You should sit in one corner. He should be unkempt because he is a scientist. He shouldn't have shaved. Yeah, and then the mood is not so positive. What are all these? Even when we do not know and haven't seen, when I asked, we imposed what we believed a scientist's laboratory should look like and then started sharing how Thomas Alva Edison's laboratory looked like. And this happens all the time. All the time. Now, how do these beliefs influence our interactions with people? First, we notice some observable data and experience it, whatever is happening. Then I select the data from what I observe. Okay, this is called ladder of inference. How do I infer things? I add meanings to the data I selected. I make assumptions based on the meanings I added. Okay? Then I draw conclusions, what we just saw. I adopt beliefs about the world because once I conclude, I start adopting beliefs because it becomes true for me. And then I take actions based on my beliefs. This is the sequence, what we call as how we infer, how we act things. But the interesting thing that happens is this loop. It comes back, whatever I believe, it influences the kind of data I select. What you just saw in the example. What kind of data I select depends on what kind of beliefs I hold. Let me walk you through a simple example. Rashmi is a lady in your office. She misses a deadline for the assignment. She gives no apology or explanation and goes on sick leave. That's the data. That's what you're observing. That's what you saw. Then you select the data from what you observe because you start adding meanings to it. What is the data you select? Rashmi deliberately took leave to get away from the assignment. She avoided talking to me as well. Okay? Then I add meanings. What is that meaning? Rashmi faked illness and lied. She was not interested in the assignment. And then I make assumptions. I don't know what she is doing. The only data I have is she missed the deadline. She was not in the office. She didn't apologize. That's the only data. Next, Rashmi is not interested in taking up additional responsibilities. She also very irresponsible. Wow. One absent, one missed deadline, and the person already becomes irresponsible. Now let's move ahead. Since Rashmi is unwilling and responsible, I must not trust her and avoid giving her any additional responsibility in future. Wow, another leap of faith. And then, next I take actions. What is that? I don't trust Rashmi anymore. I am curt with her. I won't include her in future projects. Conclusion made. Over. So next time, when I come in interaction with her, I never made time to ask. I built assumptions on top of assumptions. I believed my own assumptions because they are mine. I made the assumptions and I believed them. And based on those beliefs, I draw conclusions. And next time, when I am selecting the data about Rashmi, even if she comes on time for the next assignment, what will be my reaction? Yeah, I know, ye to bahut chalne wala nahi hai. This is just one-off thing. Next time, she won't be on time again. I should not trust her. Because your belief starts influencing how you interpret the data. And all these happens pretty innocuously. You're not even aware of those. It just happens. And for us, this is truth. That's how subtle those beliefs are. And we carry many of those. Beliefs form the bedrock on which the edifice of self-talk stands and sustains. What I speak to myself depends on what kind of beliefs I hold about the situations and people that I am seeing out there. And my experience depends on my self-talk. So corollary, my experience depends on my belief system. Not what actually is happening there most of the times. And this is what we call as the iceberg model. What you observe are behaviors and results. Rashmi was, she missed the deadline, she did not turn up, she didn't apologize. That's what you observed. But what is underneath that stuff, whatever the way we are behaving and the kind of outcomes that we generate, they are first start with our beliefs, and our beliefs influence our thinking, you saw just now. And thinking is what leads to emotions. And then emotions translate to behaviors. And 3/4 of this is below our conscious thought. That's why it becomes so much more important for us to spend time with ourselves and go a little deeper. Separate ourselves with my beliefs and then say, this is my belief, I am separate, my belief is separate, I can change my belief. Very important takeaway from today's presentation. I have the power to change my beliefs because they are my beliefs and I created them, and they are not necessarily true. Now, what are some of the limiting or irrational beliefs that we carry in ourselves? If someone says no to my request, it means they don't love or appreciate me. They simply said, can you join me? I'm sorry, yaar, I'm too busy, I can't come. Mujhe pata hai. When was the last time you agreed to what I said? And where does that reaction come from? From this belief. Because I believe if somebody is not agreeing to what I am saying, that they are rejecting me. Not my idea, not my request. There's a huge difference. Rejecting my request is different from rejecting me. But this belief tries to muddle things. It's not love if you have to ask. He or she should know what I want and need. Which happens mostly in relationships. Kya yaad karna hai? 25 saal ho gaya hai shaadi hone ke baad, and I have to remind him today is my birthday and get me something which I love. Give me a break, yaar. Is that what love? No. Where does that come from? Because of this belief. For whatever reason, poor fellow is forgotten. Or she forgot to make the favorite dish on your birthday. That does not mean he or she doesn't love you. But where does that reaction come from? This wrong belief. I cannot solve puzzles, so I am not good at math. I will not even try. This comes basically from my own experience. I always dreaded puzzles as a kid because I couldn't solve them. So whenever I had to go for an interview, I would tell the interviewer saying, if you ask me stupid puzzles, I will walk out. You ask me my subject, I will explain. Because that fear of failure, because I believed deep inside I cannot solve puzzles. But then later, when I understood this concept, when I understood the limiting belief, I started buying books on puzzles, I started solving them, I started learning how to think differently, and I was able to overcome this limiting belief. But until then, that was truth for me. I am not beautiful, handsome because I am dark and short. I don't have zero size, so I'm no good. Or I don't have six pack, so I'm not manly. What is that? It's just a belief. And now I want you to check. Just think about it. Close your eyes. I'll just give you a few seconds. What are your irrational and limiting beliefs that you carry about yourself? And one way of identifying a limiting belief is that limiting belief does not allow you to take even the first step to explore something different and new. Because you already know that you can't do it. You have never done it, but you know you can't do it, so you won't even try. That's a limiting belief. And this is one question for your reflective inquiry. Over the next couple of days while you are here, make a note, try to check yourself. Each area, try to review, what are my own limiting beliefs? And you have some positive beliefs too. I can take up challenging tasks. Yes, I can do that. I don't mind failing, but because I love challenges. There's a lot of opportunity out there. This is something fascinating. They did this research in US. They wanted to find out why are immigrants who come from other countries to US, the first generation immigrants, are so successful compared to their second generation, or compared to the people who are already born and brought up in US. And the reason what they found after interviewing thousands of people over many years is the people who were coming into America from outside, they believed that there is an opportunity for them and they just have to look for it. And they went in search of it and they found it. But the people who were born and brought up there, when they saw it, they felt, we don't have anything here. And that's what in Hindi we call it as tathastu. And that's what became true. They never found anything. And where did that start from? From this belief that there is a lot of opportunity out there. Then you start going looking for it. One, some of the positive beliefs, if some of you are managers, this becomes very important. Every individual has potential to excel with proper guidance and training. You don't jump to conclusions. You say, if I invest, if I spend some time, then definitely this person can excel. But how you behave with your team members fundamentally starts with this belief. If you feel there is nothing much we can change these people, Bala, give me a break. I'm working for 5 years. Some people just cannot be changed. Leave me alone. If they work, I'll keep them. If they don't, I'll fire them. As simple as that. Now that belief drives how you behave with them. You see that? How your performance and how you relate to the people is directly proportional to the kind of belief you carry inside yourself about those people. And I'm going to share this slide deck so you don't have to click any of your slides. I'll share everything, whatever I'm going to show you here. Okay? So just listen and whatever you feel is interesting, make a note. Very, very important. My past can be reviewed and rewritten. What does it mean? What does rewriting mean? The influence that my past is having on my present can be changed. That's what I call as rewritten. Whatever has happened, I can't change. But what I can change is its influence in the present. In the past, I was weak. That does not mean I am always weak. In the past, this fellow didn't perform well. Does not mean he will never perform well. Yeah, always. Whenever I come for this bus, it always comes late. Badnasi bhi hai, kya karun? And I will be the last one when the counter closes, even when I go for a movie ticket. It's permanent, yaar. Yeah, likha hua. I don't know how people see it and respond with me. Two or three things happen and we form a belief. And then it becomes a truth. But a positive belief is something where you say, no, bad patches are temporary. They won't last long. And this is again a belief. Correct? How you respond makes a huge difference to what happens to you. Check. What are your positive beliefs? Think about it. Spend some time reflecting on these. What are some of those positive beliefs you carry? We all have positive beliefs. 100%. There's no question about it. For some of us, they are more. Some of us, they are less. But we do have. But spend some time thinking about those. Now, we've been talking a lot about belief. Now, let's see what is a belief. You're interested in knowing that? We've been using it as if we all know about it for the last half an hour. So, what is a belief? What is a belief? Sorry? What we think. Okay. What we observe. What else? What you experience, yes? Knowledge and experience, impression, okay. What is the difference between a thought and a belief? When will I say what I am thinking is, I believe this? That's true, but what is it that is separating it? What is that sauce that separates a thought from the belief? It is solid. Where does that solidness come from? Conclusion. What are you concluding? Subtle behind my belief is I have accepted that something is true or real. That's what makes it a belief. That's what makes it so powerful and influences me. Whether it is true or not, for me it is true. And that becomes my belief. As a child, I had very bad experiences with tall, dark, and lean people. So now I believe I should stay away from them. God forbid, if my manager happens to be tall, dark, and lean, the way I approach will be based on my belief. Because belief exerts so much influence on my life because I accept it as true or real. So I encourage you to check yourself, review your own beliefs, and then see how many of those beliefs you are accepting them as real. And how do beliefs form? We are not born with all the beliefs, right? They form. Experiences, what else? Facts. Education system, excellent. Perception, very good. From family, very good, very good. Psychologists say that from the time we are born to the time we are 18 years old, 25,000 hours of conditioning would have gone inside our heads by our parents, teachers, elders, friends. This is good, this is not good. This is right, this is not right. You should do this, you should not do that. You should wear this, you should not wear that. Like if you are from my state, you know, Telangana or Andhra Pradesh until recently, if you did not qualify in our engineering or medical entrance, you are no good. Acha, BCom liya hai aapka beta? Engineering nahi mila hai? So only two people exist in the world, either engineers or doctor. Everyone else is a useless. That's the conditioning that goes on as kids, and a lot of conditioning happens. Check yourself. Whatever you believe is true is something your parents would have told. People in the positions of authority would have told, or your teachers would have taught. If you don't study and get good marks, bheek mangoge jaake. So set aside these sports, study now. That's conditioning. And when you grow up, how will you transfer those? You will do the same thing to your kids. That's why we have so few sportsmen. Because this conditioning creates those beliefs. Personal experiences. You don't know, Bala, I've been through it. You ask me, I'll tell you. And very important, what we hear from those we trust. My uncle went through it, he told me, why will he lie? So I believe him. You haven't seen it. Okay, you haven't experienced it. But my uncle told me, why will I lie to me? That becomes truth. Very important. Beliefs are our invisible cognitive filters. Whatever information we are taking in from the world out there, they get filtered based on the kind of beliefs that I pass that information through. Like I said, just an example, he is tall, dark, and slim. That's a fact. But when that information passes through my belief that these people are bad, then when I approach my boss, how will I approach? I have already colored the information that is coming to my senses. And beliefs, because they filter, they modulate, they change my experience and thus my performance. Fascinating. They change how I experience. Depend on what kind of beliefs I carry. And very important, this is another insight which I want you to make a note, which will help you a lot in your personal and professional life. There is a situation and there is a story I tell myself about the situation. Correct or not? Always, always check yourself. Something happens, there's a story I tell myself about what happened. And what story I tell myself depends on my beliefs. And my reaction depends on not what happened, but the story I tell myself. And then we say, "Ye samajhta nahi hai. I was doing it for his own good. My kid doesn't listen to me." Because already you believed that what he is doing or she is doing is wrong based on your own experience, and you are not willing to look at what the kid is doing from his or her perspective. You impose your belief because you get carried away with the story you tell yourself. Next time when you get upset, next time when you get anxious, check. Is it a fact or is it a story I'm telling about those facts? Monday morning, my boss calls me. I've been working with him for 5 years. He never left a voicemail. But I did all the assignments properly on Friday. I even stayed back late. I completed the report. I sent it to him. Why is there a voicemail? He didn't say that. He said, Bala, can you come to me as soon as you are in? The fact is, Bala, can you come to me as soon as you're in? That's all there is. And then what is the story I tell myself? And then my reaction, my anxiety, my pain is because of the story. And when I go inside, fearing that he's going to fire me, he says, I really appreciate the kind of report you generated, Bala. It has got us this wonderful project, so I want you to lead it. But my reaction is based on the story. Check yourself. How many kinds of such stories you tell yourself on a daily basis? It's fascinating. Yes. I'll give you the time towards the end because I don't want them to start having self-talk about food. If I delay it, I'll give you the opportunity. And this is very interesting. Your brain simulates the world for you. It's most of the times pretty close to reality, but that is not reality. Let me give you an example. I'll show you that. Whatever you see, okay, is not necessarily what is out there. It is what your brain is showing you. Very subtle difference. And this becomes very important when we discuss about self-talk. Check this. They are rotating or not? They are, yeah? But when you focus on one area, the others start rotating. They will stop. But are they truly rotating? Are they truly rotating? The reality is they are rotating. Or my experience says, because my eyes are showing me they are rotating, but the reality is they are not rotating. They are just stagnant. The interplay between vision and brain is creating that motion. That's why it's called an illusion. And we create our own fantastic illusions based on our beliefs. Because most of the time, we are simulating the world parallelly. There is reality and there is simulation. And inside this simulator, we constantly run mini movies about people, about things, about experiences. So your brain simulates the world, and in this simulator, you play mini movies. What are those? And our experience to a large extent depends on what kind of mini movies we play inside our heads. About any situation. And quite often, the mini movies are about what I think should happen is what I keep playing. Oh, I thought these are all the things that they will teach. I'm disappointed, yeah. They didn't tell me anything of that sort. Because there is a movie that you already played even before you started. You created an expectation and you are not willing to take the reality. Most of the time, I impose my belief on that reality. And our expectations are the result of our beliefs. What kind of mini movies play? Of course, he'll say X if I say Y. I know, I've seen that. It's obvious that they let me down. It's obvious that they don't like me. Don't again ask me to go to them. What is this? This is a mini movie that is playing inside your head even before you approach that other person. And that is based on your belief that you have created. And simulators mini movies are full of limiting beliefs. Most of the time they are not even true. And my reaction, my experience depends on these mini movies. Now check yourself, what kind of mini movies were playing before you came here, while you are here, after going back from here. And most of the sorrow comes because of the wrong mini movies I play in my head. Reality won't change. Reality will be reality. And the problem with these mini movies is they keep us stuck by their simplistic view of the past. Because if anything complicated, we love simplifying it. He didn't talk, he doesn't like me. Very simple, straightforward. Over, I carry with that. And that mini movie keeps playing. He's dark, he's not handsome. Done. He's fair, she's fair, so she must be beautiful. Whatever beliefs I have, they guide my self-talk, as you saw. And whatever self-talk I have, they reinforce my beliefs. And this becomes a vicious circle. Where do you break this? How do you break this? How do you break this? Yeah? Is there a way to break? How do you break? Change the behavior. How? Change the beliefs. How? Even before you change the belief, there is one more step. What is that? I may be wrong. That humility helps. But what else is there? Even before introspect. Yes, introspection leads to what? Why should I introspect? Sorry? Very good. First, I need to become aware of my beliefs, and that's what this whole session is about. Then you can decide whether you want to change them or not. It's your choice. But first, I need to become aware. And then later comes the question of whether I will accept them or not. And then later comes the question of whether I will change them or not. So that first step of awareness requires reflection. And that's where you will sit and spend your times of meditation. Use the beautiful time in between that you have the sessions. Sit down, switch off your mobiles, nothing earth-shattering is going to happen. Spend some time with yourself, for yourself. And you will be thankful. If you are carrying the same old stupid stuff into this beautiful weekend without adding any value, and then you leave the way you have entered, what is the use of you spending so much time? Think about it. Yeah? What matters most is not how others look at myself, but how I look at myself. And that self-image is governed by the kind of self-beliefs I have. Now think about it. Read it. I won't read it. Read it. Close your eyes and then try to understand that. It's a little confusing. Read it a couple of times. I mean, did anyone not understand? You agree with that? You agree with that? I am not what I think I am. No. I am not what you think I am. Because what you are thinking, I won't know. But what I am what I think I am. It's very interesting. When we go into a group, we dress ourselves very well. And then we say, Log kya sochenge mere bare mein? They are looking at me. This person is looking at me. So I should be very good. And the interesting part is, every single fellow in the room is also feeling the same thing. They don't have any time as if you are a Cinderella and then, or you are a Bruce Lee or you are a Hercules where they are worried about you. They are worried about themselves. But my reaction is based on what I think you think. Most of the times it is not even reality. Think about it. That's what we call it as looking glass self. How my mom and dad see me. Mera beta hai, meri beti hai. Kuch galat kari nahi sakte. And then how my girlfriend sees me. Just normal. Because she knows me, right? And how my older brother sees me. He has been seeing me. So this aura is not there. And then how my ex-girlfriend sees me. This is what I am thinking that they are thinking. I don't even know whether they are thinking like that. But this is what I think that they are thinking, and my reaction is based on what I think about what they are thinking. Wow. And my perception is my reality, irrespective of the reality. Yet another very, very interesting insight which I want you to think about. Sit and churn on these things. How I perceive reality is my reality, irrespective of what reality is. Because they're already being colored. My experience is already being colored based on the story I'm telling myself. And there is this critic who sits inside each one of us, where it's your inner voice that attacks and judges you. you can never do this, Bala. That's it. You have tried enough. Come on, give up now. The critic blames you when things go wrong. That's why we are so harsh with ourselves. It negatively compares you to others. It maintains an album of your failures but ignores your success. But you just succeeded. Fluke, yaar. I don't think I can do it. Just by fluke, I succeeded. But in reality, I can't do that. And then what does this inner critic do? And then it calls you names. The kind of labels we give ourselves. And is the most negative part of each one of us, and it hits you where it hurts, wherever your self-esteem is low. And this critic is the one who generates most amount of negative self-talk. And this is not even true. This is what you are generating, and you can transform it. Very important. And how do you deal with these negative thoughts? Very important. First is to become aware, to detect what are those waste thoughts, what are those negative thoughts. First, detect those. Then, disrupt that negative thought before it overtakes you. By telling yourself after this session, yes, Bala said this, this is a negative thought, this is not true. At least that thought itself will disrupt that negative thought from moving ahead. And then dispute. Whatever negative thought is coming, you reframe and then present counter arguments to it. No, I don't believe that that is true. It is happening because this is how I am thinking. That's why it is becoming negative. But just let me focus on the facts in the situation, not on the story I'm telling myself based on those facts. That's how you disrupt or dispute. And then you design. You create new stuff. Take the simple example of your boss leaving that voicemail on a Monday morning. As soon as you are trying to jump to conclusions, you catch yourself. You detect that negative pattern. And then you disrupt it. You won't allow it to move forward. And you dispute it. What are the facts in this situation? What is the story I'm telling myself based on those facts? Two simple questions will help you to disrupt them. Two simple questions. What are the facts in this situation? What is the story I'm telling myself about those facts? When I know that is a story, I have the capability to transform it. And then I can design something new. Now, I want to ask you a question. Should I continue or should I stop here? Okay. Then can all of you stand up? Sitting for a long time. I'll do a couple of simple exercises. We'll do that. Okay? It takes less than a minute. And then we'll sit down.
Front. Up, front, down, front, up, down, front, up, up, good, front, down, sit down.
In the last 25 to 30 years, some fascinating discoveries have been made in the field of neuroscience. How does this self-talk impact the physical structure of brain? Where does it come from? By transforming self-talk, how we can transform even the whatever brain structure we have. This is what we call as the emotional brain, what we call as the emotional center of the brain, amygdala. And this part, what you're seeing, is the thinking brain. Okay? This part is the thinking brain, and deep inside is your emotional center. What scientists have found is the number of connections from emotional brain to thinking brain are far higher compared with the reverse number of connections. Simple example, how much time does it take for you to get angry? Compare that with the amount of time it takes for you to cool down. Now you understand. When I get angry, when I get emotional, that takes over my thinking brain, this part of it. And when I have to calm down, I should allow my thinking brain to overpower my emotional brain. But those connections are very weak. Now don't tell me, Bala told me this, I can get angry, I can get anxious, because my brain itself is like that. Now the next step. What scientists have found out is, if you can transform the kind of self-talk you do with yourself in a consistent manner, you can generate new connections from your thinking brain to your emotional brain. That's how you achieve stress relief through meditation. That's how you become less anxious, by generating those extra connections from the thinking brain to your emotional brain. It's possible, but it's a choice I need to make. If you don't want to, you're happy, go for it. But if you want to, which I guess you all are, that's why you spent your long weekend coming all the way here, then this is what happens. So whatever is being taught here, whatever you are being asked to do, there is proper science behind it. This is not based on some anecdotes. There is hard evidence. And when you consistently do this, you have the capability to transform the physical structure of your brain. And positive self-talk, this is another beautiful thing. It strengthens our thinking brain, what we call as the frontal lobes. Our ability to decide, our ability to analyze, our ability to plan, all that gets strengthened based on the kind of neurons that we have in our frontal lobe. And this, what we call as prefrontal cortex, actually gets strengthened. It becomes thicker with positive self-talk. So the more positive you are, the stronger your decision-making capability becomes. The stronger your ability becomes to control your own emotions. And how to change our beliefs and thus our self-talk? How do I change them? What is the method? How? Easier said than done. Thinking out of the box. But what is my box? Am I aware of my own box? Good. What else? Good. That's a good starting point. And somebody raised the hand. Very good. So that reflective inquiry will help transform. Become aware and then transform. Excellent. Yes. Can you pass the mic to her, please? Can you pass the mic?
Thinking out of the box is thinking besides normally what we think.
Excellent. Very simple definition. Clap. Can I do a little different thinking than what I usually think? Beautiful definition. That's what the box is. Can I perceive things differently? Let me show you a very simple clip which will give you some insight. Interesting, isn't it? The balls seem to be rising against the gravity, and you're not even forcing them. What happened now? What changed? What changed? Did the reality change? The reality is reality, but my experience is dependent on my perspective. Correct? When I change my perspective, what changed? What changed? How I perceive things. So the key lesson for today is my perception is my reality. Be humble enough to agree that yes, it can differ from reality and I create my own reality. And my perception is governed by my perspective. You just saw that. From what angle I look at a situation creates the story that I tell myself, which in turn governs the kind of experience I go through. and that experience in turn governs my reaction. You will learn a lot more about this particular aspect tomorrow when Shivani Ben is going to speak. It's not about what happens there. It's about what happens here in response to what's happening there that governs my happiness or sorrow. Do you agree with that? It's revolutionary. And that's what spirituality is. Spirituality is to take responsibility of my own self. Where I don't blame the world, I don't blame my parents, my teachers, my brother, my mother-in-law, my daughter-in-law, no. I take responsibility for my experience so that I can transform it. Good. There's a lot more to discuss, but then we reached our 8:30. Any questions?
The people who have been very successful in life, at certain point of time in their life, they were not so successful.
Correct.
And suddenly they, so how it happened? Did they change their thought process? Did they change their belief system? Or did it happen automatically without into their knowledge?
There's an interesting keyword you used. You know what is the keyword in what you just said? They suddenly became successful. It might appear to me that they suddenly became successful, but there is years of hard work. While they are doing hard work, we don't see it. So there are no shortcuts. You have to go through that sweat, blood and toil if you want to succeed. One of the things in today's, for this retreat. Work hard, you will get success. Sometimes you might fail, but that's a part of life. And what you said is right because they fundamentally transformed their limiting beliefs, which made them believe that I can do this. Then they started doing it.
Can we change others' perception towards us?
I'll put the question to you all. Can we? Louder, please. You got your answer. I can only help them become aware, but the choice is theirs. I can't change you, but I've just made you aware. And the rest, what you want to do in the next couple of days and the rest of the time after you go back is your choice. Correct? So if I can't change somebody, that does not mean that I should not work towards changing them. That's another wrong belief. I should put my best foot forward to make them aware at least. That's the first step. And that's all I have in my control. Yes, ma'am. Can you pass on the mic, please?
Doesn't too much of positive self-talk make you overconfident, and that doesn't empower you to take feedback from people positively, and you can't face criticism at some point of time?
Very good. What do others think? That's one. And being positive does not mean that you are moving away from reality. Very important. I am not creating castles in thin air. That's not positivity. That is deceiving myself. Positivity means not allowing my limiting beliefs to influence my perception of reality. Not stopping me from exploring at least with an open mind. That is positivity. And you're absolutely right. That is why positive thinking has been, to a large extent, discredited in the world out there. Because positive thinking is misunderstood as running away from reality. That's not positive thinking. Yes. Pass on the mic. Can somebody, Ranjan, can you just help pass on the mic?
Yeah, my question is just related to what a gentleman asked, like if you can change others' belief. So in the presentation, you gave an example of Radha. So, Radha or Rashmi?
Rashmi, yeah.
So, due to somebody else's belief, so she suffered. But what is the mistake of Radha and what she should have done to, you know, save herself?
Very good question. I like that. can I change my boss? Can I choose my boss? To a large extent, I can't. If I want to choose, then I have to quit. But there also, I can't choose my boss. I'll get a different boss. So the only way that you can influence someone else's belief about you is you being right in what you believe in consistently and persistently. Because brain cannot take too much of opposite information beyond a certain stage. It'll take time. Are you willing to do that? That's the question. If she can stay true to herself and then do what she does best, and then based on the reactions of the boss, try to anticipate why that negative reaction is coming and then have a conversation, I'm sure she can bring about a small change. Does it help? Yeah, I'm sorry if I disappointed you saying that you can't control your boss, but that's the reality. Yes, ma'am.
Does my thought process, the perception, are they influenced by my beliefs, my genetic factors? My beliefs, my perception, are they influenced by my genetic factors? Because sometimes we say that I think like my mom or you do like your dad, something like that, right? Does it influence?
What do others think? It again goes back to the kind of conditioning that we have had from our parents, where we learn to respond similar to their reaction. And that is what we start feeling. Because there is a mom and daughter or mom and son relationship, we feel that it is genetic. It is not. Just so that you know, there are two things. One is nature, which is genes, which you inherit from your parents. The second one is nurture. That is the kind of environment you grow in. Overwhelmingly, today's science is talking about if you are consistent in your efforts to a large extent, I'm not saying everything, to a large extent, nurture can trump nature. You can't change your height. You can't change the color of your eyes. But you can change what you think, how you respond based on what changes you want to bring about in your environment. So in short, no, it is not genetics, especially with respect to your thinking pattern.
Thank you.
Yeah. One second, I'll come. Yes, it's pending, so we will take. Yeah, here.
I am going to believe that I'm going to top in the next examination, but I was not able to appear in the examination. Then what we call it? अगर किसी कारण से हम उस एग्जाम में अपियर ही नहीं हो पाए, बिलीव तो था हमारे अंदर कि जब भी अगर हम बैठते हैं इस एग्जामिनेशन में या किसी भी जगह पर कि हम बहुत सक्सेसफुली उसे बहुत अच्छे से निकालेंगे, लेकिन किसी रीजन के कारण हम एग्जाम ही नहीं अपियर कर पाए, तो उस समय वो बिलीव सिस्टम का क्या हुआ? या एब्सोल्यूट रियालिटी, मैं जानना चाहता हूँ कि क्या कुछ ऐसी चीज़ें होती हैं जो एब्सोल्यूट रियालिटी होती हैं कि वहाँ पर बिलीव सिस्टम काम ही नहीं करता? वट वी कॉल द ड्रामा इन ज्ञान.
I don't know if I have properly understood your question, but let me try. What you are trying to say is, whatever I want to happen in any particular situation, if it doesn't happen the way I want it to happen, then what? Is it what you're asking?
Exactly.
Correct? Yeah. Is it what? Did I understand correctly?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. What we are talking about beliefs here is, whatever is possible, whatever is in my control, how I influence that which is in my control. I am not talking about something that is beyond my control. There's a difference. If you want to go in time, like in our state, we have this, even if it is 1 minute late, you're out. It's in your control to reach there half an hour before, 20 minutes before, 10 minutes before. But if you have, for whatever reason, were not able to do it, then the choice is again yours. Do you want to blame yourself? Or do you want to take it as a lesson and then work on it next time? I always have the choice. But it is always useful to approach the exam, even the next time, with the same belief that I can make it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Here. One second, I'll just.
I have something to share about belief, just for a few minutes. I have experience about belief. I am in a business development and interacting with global client for the last 7 years. And whenever I have a positive thought and belief about, yes, I'm going to get the business from particular client, I have a very different action, the way I talk, the way I write, the way I interact, the way I follow up. Every action is totally changed once I have a different belief. No, there is no benefit. So every action will be the email writing, the everything will be changed as per the belief. So it comes about positive thought, basically, and self-esteem, self-confidence, basically.
Excellent. Now, the last question, because I don't want you to start your own self-talk. I'll come back to you. Yes, sister, go ahead. Pass it on to her. We'll interact some more because I'm going to take a few more sessions tomorrow and day after. I'm going to be here in the campus.
Hello,
yes.
Good evening. I have once watched a movie, The Secret. And the message which came out from that movie was, what we think, that becomes our destiny. Is it really true? I want to appear in an exam. If I always keep on thinking, imagining that I'll be there. So, is it true?
I'll give you a simple equation. You can make a note, sister, because you asked, and all of you can make a note and tell your folks also. Visualization minus hard work is visual thinking. Write it down. Maximum, 100 marks milenge. Yes, my boss is, my teacher is giving me. I got 100 marks. Will you get? No hard work because I'm visualizing. Every day I see that necklace. It should come. I wish it was so easy. Then anyone who is doing window shopping, you won't even have somebody entering the shop. Only people would stand on the outside and then giving vibrations. Kalap mera bano, ek mahine ke baad mera bano, and then it comes. I wish. No. Visualization minus hard work is wishful thinking. Visualization plus hard work is success. That element of hard work makes a huge difference. But the positive visualization helps you from stopping your negative beliefs to interfere with whatever you want to do. That's how it helps. And it's a commercial movie. They tend to dramatize it. You know, that's why how they twist and turn the reality in movies. Sometimes I give this interesting example. Which was the Bollywood movie? You know, almost all Bollywood movies end with marriage. It's beautiful, yeah? And then that is what becomes successful. And there was only one movie where Shah Rukh Khan was already married in the first scene itself. And then that didn't run well. Chalte chalte. Because it tried to show the reality. We always want to think that happily lived ever after. That's good. Don't give me the details because I know what happens next. Yes. The last question.
Bala bhai, in our daily life, we used to observe many things in the professional life, in personal life. And after the observing, we believe, we make our beliefs. Then if again monitoring the things, it becomes confirmation, yes, this happened and I have to take this decision like this. And by this, by your presentation, if I will be in doubt, I may be wrong, it may be wrong belief, then it will be very difficult for me to take decision whether I should do this or not, I may be wrong. So what should, in this situation, what should we do? Otherwise, if we will take decision, we may be very late.
Very good. So if I understand correctly, what you're saying is, if my analysis of the facts takes so much time that it starts creating a doubt in me, then that might impact my decision-making process and speed. Very good question. The simple answer to that is, try to relook at the facts if you are limiting yourself from performing your best. If what you are observing is making you feel good and give your best, and that's what you're feeling, go ahead with it. Most often, this knowledge is for those negative self-limiting beliefs which we are not even aware. If it is a positive belief that I can do this, why do you want to change it? Go with it. Yes, you can do it. What's there to change in it? See that? Good. So next 1 minute, put your books, pens aside. What I want you to do is try to think, what is that one belief which you would like to change while you are here? Something that is limiting. Not the positive ones, but negative ones. You have understood by now what is a negative and what is a limiting belief. Is that okay? Sit back, close your eyes, and then hopefully don't open it until you decide which belief you're going to work on. Thank you. Good night.